Hi, my name is Claudia, and I hope this ages well.
Hey there. Welcome to I Hope This Ages Well, a podcast centered around capturing the stories of our most senior community members. I'm a stand-up comedian, so to make each episode a little fun, I'm going to be sharing jokes with the guests, and the guests will be sharing jokes with me. I'm your host, Gilberto Soto. Should we get started? Yeah, let's go.
For whatever years I have left, and I'm old and I could drop dead right now on the floor and mess up your podcast. But I feel like whatever years I have left are going to be the best years of my life because I'm committed to make it that way.
This week, we welcome Claudia. This traveling Texan eventually found her way to New York City, living her dreams and continuing to live the best moments. She is in her self-described year of yes. I love that. It means that she's saying yes to anything that comes her way because she's taking control and making choices of how she's going to live. So without further ado, please welcome the ever so inspiring Claudia. Hi, Claudia. How are you?
I'm good.
When we started this, you told me that, you know, you're somewhere in your life right now where you say yes to everything.
Yes.
What does that mean?
That means when somebody asks me to join a new book club to study female empowerment, even though I think, oh my God, I've been doing female empowerment for 50 years, I'm sick of it, I say yes, because you can never have too much female empowerment. Or when some young, handsome man shows up at my senior center geriatric exercise class and dances with us and then asks me to be in a podcast, please. No, I'd never do that. But then I think, but Claudia, you promised yourself you're going to say yes. So I'm in a new book club and for God's sake, I'm now in a podcast.
Well, I can just say I'm so glad you're in that stage because you radiate positivity. And I will say before we start, I'm blushing because you said handsome, but I also did a little bit of the Zumba class in the background and it is like work. It helps move your muscles. You're working different parts out. And just by sitting in the chair, I thought it was pretty fantastic, actually. So that's good. So tell me, where are you from?
Texas.
Oh,
here
born
I am
and raised?
In Brooklyn.
What are you doing in Brooklyn?
Oh, my God. It was a long slog to get here. But grew up in Austin, moved as a 20-something to Houston, lived there way long. But the only thing I ever really, 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 really wanted to do was live in New York City. And I got here before 70, which was good.
What? Oh, so you moved here later in life.
Oh, yeah. We still are permanent residents of Texas. Yeah. We vote in Texas because who would want to miss that opportunity? And we live part-time here in Brooklyn. We come for the summer.
And who's we?
My husband.
Oh, that's so cute. And you like, I think it's so fantastic that you had goals and you accomplished them later when you could.
Better late than never.
Than never.
Yeah.
And why? So what about New York during the summer do you love? Because I love New York during the summer.
Well, I love the energy. I'm a theater nut. I think this... I go back and forth whether New York or London are the English language paradise for theater, serious theater. I love the theater. I love art, the
musical
museums.
Or actual or like theater?
I prefer dramas, but an occasional musical will slip under the radar. Girl from the North Country right now, for example.
Oh, it's good?
Oh, it's better than good.
That's our recommendation of the week then.
Yeah.
Okay, so how is it different living in Texas than New York for you?
You wake up in the morning and you read the paper and the things that you've dreamed about doing all your life are not 2,000 miles away. They're a subway ride away. To get wherever you want to go, you don't get in the car and burn fossil fuels to pollute the planet. You take public transportation or walk everywhere. The beauty, the history, this neighborhood of Brooklyn Heights, I can walk from my apartment and in 3 minutes be in front of a plaque that commemorates where George Washington spent the night before he evacuated Brooklyn, having lost the Battle of Brooklyn. And there was a plaque that a farmhouse stood there. I mean, I just love the history. I love the feel, the energy. There's nothing that compares to this in my home state.
Oh, nice. And your husband also wanted to move here as well, or?
My husband is a trooper. Ah. He's pretty comfortable and happy wherever he is. And this coming up here solved a problem. We were in a big old house that needed a lot of work. He didn't want to do it, didn't want to pay money to it. He essentially bribed me because I said, this is my house. I don't want to live anywhere else but this. I'm not moving in Houston. And he said, well, we don't have to live in Houston. We can live anywhere. I said, anywhere? He said, anywhere. I said, London. He said, anywhere in the United States.
There's a caveat.
Yeah. So here we are. And we sold our big, needing lots of repair house. And we took all that money and bought a teeny little apartment in Brooklyn Heights and never looked back. And we've been up here about 10 years. Love it more every year.
Yeah. And
I truly, having done that, I feel like, you know, how people say, oh, high school were the best years of my life, or this was, I feel like I gave myself the opportunity for whatever years I have left. And I'm old and I could drop dead right now on the floor and mess up your podcast. But I feel like whatever years I have left are going to be the best years of my life because I'm committed to make it that way. And I'd been dragging myself up here for this Zumba class and these other classes at this amazing center that's free for seniors. Yeah. Do we have anything like this in Texas? No way.
Yeah.
Because I want to be fit. I want to be alive and then dead. I don't want that intermediate period where I'm an invalid. And, you know, you can't help that always, but you can sure contribute to it. So I'm getting ready to leave on Saturday for a month in England. Going to see a few shows in London.
We're in England.
Going to travel with my sister and some other women, and then all the grandkids are coming over, and my husband and I are going to stay with the oldest grandkid who just graduated Columbia. The only kid who's not coming lives in Brooklyn, too, and he's not one yet. He'll turn one when I'm away. I'll miss the birthday party. But so I've got a lot going on, and I'm, you know.
Can I just say, like, hearing the way that you're describing life and the way that you're taking control and making a choice to live the way you live is inspiring, because I think we often forget that we have a choice in how we want to live our life. And I find that very compelling.
Well, I didn't get here. It's taken about 25 years of meditation twice a day, morning and evening for 20 minutes, and a lot of retreats and work and yoga. And
what do you learn in meditation in your retreats and yoga? Like, why is that important to you?
Well, the yoga part is to keep the body. And it's a body meditation, but I do most, the yoga part for me is physical, but the meditation is not just calming and physically, mentally renewing, but it helps you detach from yourself and from your ego and to be in touch. And I'm a Christian. I'm a Roman Catholic. We call it being in touch with the Christ within us, or the God within us, the Spirit within us, whatever a person believes animates us and makes us alive, being in touch with that life spring. And you come away emptied out of yourself and filled more with the love of your neighbor and commitment and feeling one with other people.
Sounds like you're grateful.
I'm extremely grateful. I've been unsubscribing from a lot of emails because I was getting 200 a day, and I don't want to spend all my time in England and checking my emails. So, but the one that I'm not going to unsubscribe from, it's just called Gratitude. And it sends a little squib every day about a way to be grateful. And yes, I'm very grateful.
I thought you were going to say the one you're not going to unsubscribe to is this podcast, but it's okay.
Well, I'm going to subscribe to this podcast for sure.
So it sounds like you have a full family too. Did you have children?
I have two children, and my husband, it's a second marriage for both of us, and we each have a boy and a girl. And so between us, we have six grandkids. I have two girls and a boy, and he has three boys.
It's the Brady Bunch.
Well, in a way, but yeah, more or less. We never quite did it that way. Yeah. But it's fun.
Got it. Wow, you raised your children in Texas.
Yes. When we married, my children were grown. His children are younger. He's slightly younger than I am, 3 years, but his kids are like 10 years younger. So that's why we have this spread from 22 to zero, to one, you know. My two were older, so none of them ever lived with us, but they spent a lot of time with us.
May I ask?
Sure.
What age did you get married the second time?
Gosh, I was 45.
45.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have a question. I don't consider that later in life, but I do consider that when you're 40, I'm not 45 yet, but I assume when you're 45, you're a little bit more set on your ways, right? You kind of have more of an identification of who you are and what you want. And so to integrate with somebody else in terms of life and partnership, I don't know if that's easier or harder, but how did you find it?
You'll laugh at this. I said to my husband 3 days ago, you know, I think this pandemic has knocked some of the hard edges off our marriage. We've been married 33 years. And he said he didn't know we had any hard edges.
See, I'm you in my relationship and my boyfriend's your husband. So
yeah. We had some strong disagreements over the years. But I think with aging, I mean, I'm almost as old as Joe Biden. He's
Well, you look better, if I'm honest.
Thank you. He's 9 months older than I am. But, you know, and my husband just turned 75. So we're up there. But we want to keep going.
Well, if physical appearance has anything to do with it, and also as well as your internal being, I have no doubt you'll keep going for a long, long time.
That's the plan.
So let me ask. So in relationships, maybe I want to concentrate here just a little bit. You'll always have these difficult moments, right? And it's easy to give up, but it's harder to go through them and figure it out. How did you do it?
Well, I have to say that the meditation practice helped a lot, and the teachings of the meditation teachers about ego and focusing on the other and being more loving and giving and gratitude and learning. The first spiritual teacher that really grasped, well, there were two actually, but the first retreat, the meditation retreat I went on, and the teacher said, the first thing you have to know is everything matters. And then the second thing you have to know is nothing matters. Mm. And they're both true. In other words, whatever we do has an effect on others. But in the long run, you know, if I had said, no, I'm not, thank you, Roberto, I'm not going to do this, neither one of us would have suffered or died. But, you know, everything matters and nothing, but nothing, that kind of thing. And so it's not that things don't happen in our marriage now that get on my nerves or I roll my eyes or look away, but I don't comment on it. I feel like the hardest thing for me to do was just not to let something go, something that in the past I've said, look, I really don't like the way you said that, or did you really, you know, that kind of thing. Just let it go, whether you like the way you said it or not. So what?
Yeah. Letting go is such a hard thing.
Oh, it is, when you're right, especially.
I'm practicing it too. And I love, like, I'm in a really happy relationship now. It's kind of perfect in my eyes. But letting go is still hard. And it's not even about the other person. It's about our own self. Those words ring true to me right now. Can I just ask, like, what's one of the most romantic things that you and your husband have, an experience that you've done? I'm a romantic at heart.
In the last 33 years?
Yeah. Something pops into your mind.
Oh, we've had some wonderful vacations. We've chartered sailboats in Greece and in the Caribbean and in Italy, and our honeymoon was amazing. You know, but with anybody, if you're both lawyers and you've made enough money, anybody can do that stuff. But the most romantic things now is he's getting these sunburst meals that come in the mail, and he cooks dinner all the time. I mean, just being together now and not fighting and being content to be in a city where there's everything available, but you're getting ready to go on a trip and you don't want to get COVID again. So you're not going out. You're just staying home and packing and being calm. You know, that's as romantic to me now as any of those other fabulous things.
That's really sweet.
Yeah.
Time together.
Yeah.
Right? Like
yeah,
that just, time together to get to know each other in the most, I don't want to say mundane things, but just everyday.
Yeah. We babysat the one-year-old last night down in Carroll Gardens, and they have a big TV with Disney Plus, and we watch West Side Story. Oh. And, you know, just melt when Maria. Yeah, so listen, when you're this old, everything's romantic. When you get out of bed, you can still see and walk.
So going back to your upbringing, how would you describe the lady or girl, however you want to describe it, then to the woman you are today?
How would I describe the Claudia of today to the Claudia of Austin, Texas in the 50s?
Yeah.
Say, oh, honey, it's going to get so much better.
What does that mean?
Well, my family was working class. They were the first of their generations to go to high school. And they, we had no books in our home. I'd never gone to an opera or a ballet or a symphony. You know, it was a very, very Archie Bunker kind of existence. Uh-huh. A lot of racial epithets. And I mean, this is Texas. This is, I was in the first grade. I was 7 years old in 1951. All my classmates had I Like Ike buttons, and we were Democrats. That was the saving grace of my family. We've always been Democrats. My daddy was in the labor union. And so, you know, we had a social justice and focus, but they were racists and didn't even know it. Wow. You know, I mean, used alluding to other ethnicities with pejoratives and that kind of thing was commonplace, and we didn't know the difference. Very white Catholic. We didn't even know non-Catholics. That's kind of how, mini focus I had, and we didn't take family vacations except to visit relatives in Galveston. I'd never been out of the state, and that's how I fell in love with New York, because I went to college at the University of Texas. My mother dropped me off on the curb in the morning at 8 and picked me up at 5. And so I stayed in the library all day, and I graduated Phi Beta Kappa and all this because I was on the campus all the time. But I made friends with a woman, a girl we call them then, whose mother lived in D.C. and she was going home for Christmas. And this guy wanted to drive her up there, and she didn't want to be alone with him. So I rode up with her to D.C. It was the first
Said yes.
And the first great city I ever saw was Washington, D.C. And I loved it. It was so beautiful. And on Christmas Eve, we were sitting around. Her mother was a single mom. And I said, you know, Velma, this has just been magic for me. And I said, in one day, what I'd really love to do after this is to see New York City. And she said, Claudia, you want to see New York City? Tomorrow, Christmas Day, we got up and drove the Jersey Turnpike from Washington, D.C. to New York City. We got here, the snow had fallen, and to see New York City on Christmas Day with a new fallen snow, no gray, no footprints, it was just stunning. Drove through the city, took the Staten Island Ferry back and forth. The Verrazano Narrows Bridge was brand new. This is, you know, 1963, 64. I fell in love with St. Patrick's. I mean, all these places I'd just seen in movies. And that was when I set the goal. And I was a single mom, too, for 13 years, raising kids. And I thought about trying to move up here then. And I had to be in therapy the whole time. It was very stressful. Therapist said, Claudia, you don't want to go up there and be poor raising kids. It's too hard up there.
I mean, amen.
I didn't make it. But then this house thing happened with Tom, the husband, and who was.
And you're making it work.
Making it work. It's working beautifully. So.
And are you a firm believer of things happening in your life for a reason?
No.
No?
I mean, I'm a believer, not that there's a plan or that this is supposed to happen or that God intervenes. I don't believe that. I think things happen in your life when you're looking and when you're aware and you take charge.
Ah, okay. Yeah. When you have your eyes open.
But every so often something happens and I think, okay, you're messing with me. You're trying to make me think that you're...
I have those moments. I'm like, okay, this is not a sign I wanted, but I guess it's a sign I'm getting. So you were a single mom for 13 years.
Yeah.
Were you a lawyer then?
Yeah, I was a lawyer.
So a lawyer must be high, like...
It was very stressful. I was a very bad mother. And so now I'm trying to make up for it, being a good grandmother to all these grandkids.
Got it.
Yeah, it was hard on my kids. It was hard on me. But they're fine now. Both my children are social workers. They knew they did not want to be lawyers.
Yeah. My brother is a social worker too. Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah. I kept thinking, I would say to them every so often, I'm sorry, I should have been a social worker. I thought lawyers helped people. But I got into business law and all I did was help people make more money.
Yeah.
Who didn't need it in the first place. And so... If the Buddhists are right, I get a second round of living on the planet as a human being, I'll know better.
Yeah. And this is what I hear about being a woman and in law, practicing it then. I mean, how was that?
It was a living hell. Yeah, I was not, I wasn't cut out. My mind really doesn't work that way. But because I was smart enough, I could do it. But it was hard. It was hard. I was the sixth female in a 200-person law firm. And anyway, it was hard on me. And I only practiced for 20 years. I've been not a lawyer longer than I was a lawyer now because my husband kept working.
Yeah.
But his kids were younger and we needed to put them through college and what have you. So I retired about five. Yeah, I retired before he did
in
1995. So when looking back on being a lawyer for 20 years, doesn't even seem possible.
But you did it.
What
new passions did you find after law?
Well, the things that I talked about, the meditation, and I was on a lot of social justice committees with the diocese and things, you know, things that were more in tune with my beliefs.
Yeah.
I was very lucky to have some really good teachers and
going into that
spiritual teachers. Yeah.
And you sound really passionate about your grandchildren too. Yeah. What do they mean to you?
Everything. We got to help raise my daughter and her husband let us babysit our granddaughter, the oldest one, who's now 22 and just graduated magna cum laude from Columbia University. And so we kept her while they worked, and we did that till she was, you know, old enough to be latchkey or go home with her friends after school, that kind of thing. So we got a lot of inputs into her life and are very close to her. And the others, they come up here for a week with us every summer, and we see them whenever we can. And it's magical right now to go to a college graduation with one and then babysit a one-year-old.
It's like that cycle of life.
Talk about a life cycle. It's very, a lot of fun.
Tell me, somebody who's never visited New York, through your lens of eyes, top three things to do.
See a show at Lincoln Center. It's the closest thing to a theater cathedral that we have. Mm. You can't tell them not to go to the Statue of Liberty because they all want to go,
and it
takes all day. But the statue, you got to do this. Or you could ride the Staten Island Ferry. You got to ride the Staten Island Ferry and or go to the Statue of Liberty, the theater, Central Park.
Yeah, Central Park is definitely one of them. For one of my birthdays, so I moved to New York during COVID.
From
I used to live in London.
London, England?
Yeah.
For a little over 4 years.
And I came here and I knew maybe two people in the whole city. And it was my birthday like 3 days after I moved. So I knew nobody could celebrate it with me in that sense. And so I rode a bike and I just saw the last Statue of Liberty from afar. And it was just kind of like,
I'm here.
It made me feel a little grounded in that sense.
I tell people, say, why do you want to live in New York? I say, because it's the capital of the world.
I mean, I'm seeing that now. It's just also like, I have a theory that for every one New York life that you live, it's three suburban lives for other people. It's just like so demanding.
Oh, yeah. I know, but it's so rewarding.
Yeah.
You get out more than you put in. You really do.
I completely agree in that sense. So you've been with your children. You now they're grown up. You have grandchildren. You're traveling the world. What are your goals?
Oh, just to, my son calls it to be generative.
What does that mean?
He's a social worker.
Okay.
It means instead of sitting at home molding away, watching Oprah, nothing against Oprah, that you're out generating good for yourself and for the world.
Yeah.
And I want to continue to be involved in the things I care about as long as I'm alive.
Yeah.
I want to be fully alive and then fully dead. I don't want this middle ground where, you know, you see a lot of that.
Yeah.
And I'm working really hard to.
In your year of yes, right?
No, it's not year, it's life.
It's the life of yes.
Yeah.
What other things do you have to do in your life of yes?
Well, just when somebody asks me, just say, accept the opportunities that I'm offered.
And do you notice that more opportunities are coming your way because of that energy?
Maybe so.
Look at me.
There were a lot of women in that room, and you asked me, so I don't
know. Well, I saw your eyes looking over, and I was like, oh, she may be interested, so let me just make sure I ask.
Well, I was trying to hear you because of my hearing impairment, I have to really pay attention, but for whatever reason, this was fun.
Amazing, Claudia. Okay, so before we go, we usually like to leave this podcast with a couple of jokes or funny stories or moments that have happened to you in your life. Do you have any that you'd like to share?
I'm really not very good with jokes.
No. Well, I'll tell you one and see what you think. So I'm a comic, right? So I go to gig to gig. And I think New York is sometimes a really dangerous place. So I carry mace with me.
You go where? I'm sorry.
I go from gig to gig.
Your stand-up.
Yeah. And so I carry mace with me.
You know, but someone told me that mace is illegal here in New York. So I stopped carrying mace. And I started carrying other things that hurt my eyes, like my face toner. So if a guy attacks me, I'll be like, oh, how do those rose petals feel like? Are your pores minimized? I hope so.
Love it.
So my last question is, what are your plans for tomorrow?
Oh my gosh, tomorrow is going to be wonderful. I've already packed.
Okay.
I zipped my suitcase before I came here.
Done.
I've just got to throw in my rose petal spray and whatever.
Stoner.
That stuff. But my sister's flying up tomorrow. She's traveling with me over to England. And so she'll get in and she's been here before, but she hadn't been here for a few years. And we'll walk around, we'll walk the promenade, we'll go down into Dumbo. And she hasn't seen the new pier that looks like a forest. I'll show her my hood. I'm just trying to get my whole family to move up from Texas. And if they would, I would never go back.
Yeah, in that sense. Well, I hope you have a fantastic trip. I can already know it's going to be a lot of fun. And just thank you for your time today.
Well, thank you.
Thanks, Claudia. The year of yes, there it is. I left the conversation with Claudia just giddy and full of excitement. She taught me that we have so many phases in life, and if you choose to say yes, we will continue to live moments and adventures worth remembering. I'm glad that we met her. Thank you so much for listening. As always, if you love this week's episode or the podcast in general, I'd really appreciate any ratings, sharing with your friends. As we continue to grow, your support means everything. Thank you again. I hope this age is well.